From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is your Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk the subjunctive. Wait, what is that again? Do we even really need it? I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do every week, Kathy Petrus and Ross Petrus, two people who do know what the subjunctive is. Ross Petrus, hello. You are in your home in Toronto, although not quite as pleasant as it always is. I heard you woke up a little bit early today, Ross.
Well, we had guests over last night, which was fun. And I thought we went to bed late. And I thought, no problem. What I'll do is I'll sleep a little late. Well, across the street, they're doing some construction, and it's been fine. For some reason, this morning, they started at 7 in the morning, which is normally okay, but I was going to sleep until 8:30, and instead I heard that awful backup, beep, beep, beep. You know what they do? And I just, I mean, I lost it.
So Ross is a little cranky today, maybe.
I'm a little cranky.
Kathy Petrus at your home in Armia. Construction all around you, I'm sure.
No. Oh, no. Actually, there is some. Well, us doing it. So,
right.
But we're not constructing anywhere. We're painting things now.
Oh.
I've been covered in paint. I have even had paint on my stomach. I can't figure out what I did. Like when I was painting the grill work outside. I don't know how it got on my stomach, but it did. I'm a little sloppy. My husband does the finishing work. I do the slap it on and cover the black work.
That's interesting because neither you nor I are really good painters, Kathy. I just thought of that. It's odd.
No, we're not. I have problems with the brush. I don't think I quite grok the way, you know, some people do it and it just looks like really nice.
Yeah. As a kid, I worked as a house painter for a while to earn money for college. And I remember at one point we had to like work in this like awful, like sort of a industrial park, and the guy just said basically slap it on, and I was much happier there than doing creative stuff. I was like, you know,
I'm better at the crude work.
Yeah, you know, I'm the same way.
It's like if you need something demolished or covered, I can do it. If you need to look nice, forget it. Okay. Which is why I like language so much.
We can demolish a lot of things.
That's right.
Yeah, we demolish the English language every week. So.
We're doing it right now. If you stick with us.
Well, speaking of demolish, I guess we are talking about something today that we talked about a while back, and I will prove what I said then, which was that I can never quite wrap my head around what in the world we're supposed to be talking about. We're talking about the subjunctive today. And if you asked me right now to tell you what that was, I couldn't do it, even though we've talked about this before, even though I've used it throughout my entire life. So can you tell me again for the 17th time what we're talking about when we talk about the subjunctive?
Okay. The subjunctive we're talking about is what's called a mood in the English language. And we'll get into more of that. There are three basic grammatical moods in English, and the subjunctive is one which basically deals with things like attitude and intent, things that are contrary to truth. They're not necessarily real. They're conveying a wish or request.
It's hypothetical, usually.
Yeah, it's hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into that, well, we're going to get into the subjunctive. We're going to kind of ease into the subjunctive.
Oh, good.
With Kathy is going to, I think Kathy, you should, because Kathy was like ready to scream on this one.
This was an email we got that was just fascinating. I just want to say that we were thinking about calling this episode, "We Wish There Were a Good Title for This." Or do we wish there was a good title for this?
Okay, I think Fletcher already knows right now. What would be the correct, which is the technically correct?
That one I think I can do. Now, I probably wouldn't have looked at that and said, oh, we're talking about the subjunctive. But I think we wish there were, yes?
Right.
Okay, now the reason we came up with this, this was an email we got from a listener who asked us not to use her name. She preferred that we not use it, so we're not. But thank you for writing us. Anyway, what she wrote was, I belong to a women's writers group on Facebook that shall remain nameless because, well, you'll see why I want them to remain nameless. This was the post that appeared the other day. Okay, this is the post that she, now, this is her quote.
Okay.
What's the consensus on the use of the word were when it should be was? It's so common now that I think culturally it's acceptable. But I'm Gen X and anally retentive, so it irritates the life out of me. It's even in Sam Neill's new book. For example, I just read this on Facebook. I kept wishing there were a tent giving away samples. Should I build a bridge and get over it and smatter my work with this grammatical sorcery? Okay, now the woman again that wrote us said, I had to share because I'm in great pain. On the plus side, over 120 people commented. The vast majority knew that it was a subjunctive and correct. But there were some who said, and then she quote again, I'm with you in the sentence you show. I would use was, because the wish is singular, and so is the number of tense.
Wow.
I've learned with Facebook to just shake my head and chuckle. And then someone else said, in that example, it should be was. Were doesn't even make sense to me. I haven't even noticed that being that common, actually. Stick with doing what you know is right. So she said, okay, what's going on?
Oh, that makes my head and my stomach hurt.
I think we just say at the outset, this usage in the subjunctive, I wish there were, versus I wish there was, that usage of I wish there were does seem to be declining. All subjunctive aspects are not, but that one does seem to be declining. And I, Kath and I both feel that saying I wish there was, is, it's not technically correct in terms of subjunctive usage, but it's at this point it's generally accepted. It's not a big deal. What really got us was her criticizing those who use that
right.
technically correct, you know, usage. To me, I have to say though, I grew up on "I wish it were" the "were," and I automatically correct it in my head. I don't think it's necessarily a problem if people say "I wish there was," but I hear it. What do you both two feel on that?
Yeah, I probably hear it most of the time.
I use it too.
Yeah, I think I probably do. When I'm just not thinking, I'm just not thinking. I'm speaking quickly, and it doesn't really bother me. No, not at all. What does bother me is exactly what you said, which is somebody being so darn sure that the correct way is incorrect.
I actually felt really sorry. I mean, we didn't read the whole email, but the poor woman sounded just pained.
She was really,
really like, you know.
I know.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I know that I have said, I wish I was and that sort of thing. I know it's technically incorrect, but I have said it and I do use it. I think when I write, I think I'll do it more often is when I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Usually when I'm writing, I'm pretty good with the were.
Yeah.
But I also don't think if anybody else does it, I don't mind. Really.
Yeah. You probably have a little more time to think about it when you're writing than you know, just the stream of words that come flowing from your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I do tend to say were, though, I think, even the speech. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm thinking, but I've heard me. I'm thinking in my head now. I've heard thinking in my head. Where else would I be thinking? But anyway, I've heard me saying if I was going there, if I was going to go, if I was going to go. I don't think I say if I were going to go all the time.
I really have no idea.
I think I'm just trying to say if I were going to go tomorrow. I think I do say were. I don't know. Well, let's try, actually in the next couple of days. Why don't we all three of us listen a little carefully and see what we do say? I'm serious. It'd be sort of interesting to see.
Yeah.
I'm going to avoid it like the plague probably now, you know?
Now I'm going to go, yes, I think I were.
Were I to do this?
Yes. Were I to do this, yeah. Okay, Fletcher, so now that we've gone through this, can you tell us now what a subjunctive is?
Well, I can tell you related to what you said earlier, which is when it's talking about a hypothetical. This is not when you say, I wish I were something, you're not talking about something that actually concretely exists in this plane of existence, in this reality, right?
it's used for hypotheticals, expressing a wish, a suggestion, or even a command.
Right. And so I could also say, like, if I were to do this.
Yes.
Right.
That's technically a conditional in that sense, but thank the Lord, we don't have conditionals and optatives and all sorts of things that you have in other languages. So.
No, thank you.
But anyway, so the subjunctive, though, is not, people sometimes say the tense. It's not a tense. It's a mood.
Okay.
So now, Fletcher, can you go and tell us? This is, I feel like we're in grammar 104.
I know, really, Ross. I don't like you as a teacher. I would have been like, I'm not out of this class.
I know. But anyway, English basically has three moods. One is the indicative. I'm going to just keep going.
Yes,
just
yes.
Get this over with fast.
It's great. I will remember none of this in half an hour, but I love it right now.
I know. But one is the indicative. It expresses a fact. This is a radio show, that sort of thing, okay? The next is the imperative, which Kath and I frequently use to each other. Stop talking, would you? Okay. That's the imperative. And then the subjunctive would be Kathy saying, I wish Ross wouldn't talk as much as he does. Those are our three.
I sound much more polite than usual, don't I?
Right, and so you said, and those are not tenses, they're moods.
Grammatical moods.
Okay.
Right.
What they do is they're telling you what type of statement the sentence is making. It's that simple. So imperative, you're expressing a fact, asking a question, expressing a condition. Indicative. Imperative is command or request. And subjunctive, like we said, is a wish, a suggestion, or hypothetical.
Okay.
It's actually more straightforward than you'd think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Why it doesn't sink in, I couldn't tell you, but it is not that complicated.
No,
it is not.
And the interesting thing with subjunctive is with the were, you can kind of see it, but usually it hides in plain sight. Like I could say, I ask that Kathy not sing a song right now. That's something I do frequently ask.
You haven't heard me do Toto's Africa.
No, I know. But when I said it, I asked that Kathy not sing. The sing here is subjunctive, but it sounds like a lot like a regular verb. And it's basically what it is, you just sort of tack off the to sing, you take off the to, and you got the subjunctive in most cases, except with the to be verbs.
Well, I was going to go back and just say, interestingly enough, though, U.S. English is much bigger in the subjunctive mood than British English.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
And this is where And then when you think about it, it's one of those things I never really thought about until I thought about it. You know what I mean? And they use what's called, this is going to get a little complicated for a second.
I know. Here we go.
I know, Ross. It's like I'm getting tense, but I'm going to get it over with. Just.
You say you're getting tense. Do you mean you're getting mood, Kathy?
Oh,
ooh.
See,
ding, ding.
I can do it, too.
Okay. What Brits tend to do is use should instead of the subjunctive. They use that should, like, she should be notified of any problem.
Basically, they're using what's called a modal verb. And a modal verb is, in many ways, overlaps to that of subjunctive. It's possibility, intent, ability, or whatever. So, again, what you do is you strip out the infinitive, take off the to, and I just broke my beautiful... I was fiddling, and I just broke my beautiful bookmark right now. Ooh. Oh, crud. Okay.
How can you break a bookmark?
Well, it's a really cool little bookmark. You can't see it, but it's from the 1930s, and it's like made of, it's got like a little clip that clips onto the page. It's made of Bakelite. It's
just
really
use scraps
cool.
of paper.
Well, whatever. Okay, so like Fletcher talks every Monday with Kathy and Ross. Fletcher can talk every Monday with Kathy and Ross. The can there is a modal verb. It basically enhances or it adds something to what we're talking about. It changes the meaning quite a bit.
Mm.
And the modal verb usually only goes with another verb in that sort of usage. So it's can, may, should, might, would, will, or must. And the Brits use
Shall.
That more than they use the subjunctive. Which is, again, why we go back to this talk. We don't really think the subjunctive is all of that important. It's interesting in the fact that it has fossilized meanings, but you don't really need to use it. You can use the modal verb instead.
Give me an example of a sentence, maybe two sentences, one using the modal verb and one using the subjunctive that are basically saying the same thing.
He suggests that you go there. He says you should go there.
Yeah, or he suggests that you should go there. You know, it's the same.
Yeah, that's better,
Yeah. Do you see it?
Yeah, I do. One adds the modal verb in there and the other one leaves it out, so it's technically subjunctive.
Right.
But it does sound stranger, I guess. It sounds a little weirder in my head.
What? Which one?
He suggests that you go there. the should actually sounds a little more normal to me.
Okay, which is what's happening in many cases. Yeah. The subjunctive. There's a big debate among people, is the subjunctive declining or not? My gut, even though a lot of people say it isn't, my gut is that it's kind of going away here. They made a suggestion that we be early. I mean, that's a B subjunctive right there.
Well, the key is, though, as you said before, the I think the reason it's fading out as a subjunctive is usually optional. So since it's not necessary, okay. I think it's easy to phase it out.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Without people like attacking you for, you know.
Yeah. Not necessary, at least in the sense that we clearly understand what somebody is saying if they don't use it.
Exactly.
And the confusing part of subjunctives for a lot of people is the to be verb. Because in the present, like we go, I suggest that we be present. That's subjunctive, be.
Mm-hmm.
The Brits suggest that we should be present. It's a lot easier. It sounds more natural nowadays to say the should be. I mean, should.
Although, you know, oddly enough to me, though, the be part, I think it sounds sort of fancy, and I kind of mm-hmm. like it, you know, to put it sort of sillily. I mean, there's something about it that just is pretty to me.
And that's exactly why there are certain, even though we may not know how to use the subjunctive correctly, or even though we may recoil from using it normally, we do have fixed expressions with subjunctives in them, and we use them all the time.
Be that as it may.
What does that mean exactly?
Even taking into account what you've just said, I will now say something else. Right? Like, you say, let's say my paper is due today, and my house burned down, and my professor and I say, my house burned down. How do you expect me to hand in my paper? And the professor says, well, be that as it may.
Yeah.
The deadline is the deadline.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we have another one from a very famous song, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home.
Mm-hmm.
That's another use of subjunctive.
Okay.
This is more common. You say, bless you. Someone sneezes, you go, bless you.
Oh, that's subjunctive.
Which is weird because you wouldn't think of that as a subjunctive.
No, but you're telling, because you're not saying, I'm not saying for you to, I'm not giving you an order, like we said, the imperative.
Right.
Here, what I'm really implying is may God bless you, may someone bless you. So it's indeterminate. So it's a subjunctive. That one I think is really interesting.
Actually, if it could be an imperative. I mean, it bless you would still work as an imperative.
Well,
bless
it's really
you. Bless yourself.
It's a long,
bless yourself.
This comes from a long time. I don't think people gave orders to God in like 1810. I think this is definitely.
I'm just saying technically it could also be an imperative.
It could, but I would guess anything that they meant is may God. It's in that case. I don't think people were giving orders like that.
I don't know. Now I like it my way. This one is an odd one because it didn't occur to me that this is subjunctive, but you'd say, come tomorrow, come Monday, I'm going to be out and about. Instead of saying, when Monday comes, you say, come Monday,
mm-hmm. Oh, right.
I'll be blah de blah, which is like come hell or high water, same thing.
This is interesting because this almost demands a subjunctive. I don't see us using a modal verb here.
How would it be with a modal verb? Do an example with it, man. I'm curious.
Should Monday come?
I'm certainly hoping it does.
Yeah, I think in this one we would use maybe just actually, I would say when Monday comes, I'll be done with classes is what I would say.
Yeah, by Monday.
Yeah.
Right, by Monday, I'll be done with classes.
Yeah, I don't think I usually say come Monday.
Mm-mm.
I do say come hell or high water, I have said that.
This is the classic one here we're going to do. If college were cheaper, more people could go. Now, that one I think we can see clearly is an if. It's a conditional. It's suggestive. So people would nowadays say if college was cheaper, more people could attend. And I don't have amazing. I would say if college were cheaper, but I don't have a big deal about saying if college was. I don't know how you guys feel on that.
Yeah, not really.
I think that sounds more cash, and I prefer. I actually have no problem with it. No, I'm just looking at these other ones though that are subjective, and you don't think of if need be. I certainly use if need be.
Yeah,
I do that more I do that more than if necessary.
Mm-hmm. A lot of these are fossilized expressions, mm-hmm. even if we don't generally use the subjunctive, we do in this case. And, you know, like I said earlier, the be, we either do be or were, depending on, you know, the position in the sentence. And so be it, we also use all the time.
Oh, so be it, definitely.
Yeah.
The powers that be.
Right. And truth be told, that comes to the end of our little list here, Kathy, I think.
Russ, you started to say, suffice it to say.
Yeah.
That one's always weird to me. So that uses the subjunctive too?
Yes. The suffice here is, because it suffices to say.
Right.
If you didn't use it.
Yeah. And I think that's what always, it always sounded weird to me just to say suffice it to say. It always mm-hmm. seemed like something was missing there. But I guess now understanding that it's the subjunctive for it suffices mm-hmm. to say, it is sufficient to say.
Suffice to say that it's again what we do with to be verb, we do, you know, be and were. With regular verbs, we basically say to suffice, knock off the to, and then we've got the subjunctive, which is a lot like regular uses is to, which is why people may use it, but they don't understand why they're using it. They don't even know they are using it.
Right.
And this is where you get to debates, because you get Google Ngram and you can't really tell, because you know, you can't see it. So you've got to basically go a lot of times on hearsay as well. I mean, is this declining or not? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
To me, suffice it to say sounds so much more pleasant to my ear than it suffices.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah. You know, suffice it to, I mean, again, we go back to the fossilization, and that's like so.
But the other interesting thing, though, too, with some of these constructions is, like, I don't think I would really use suffice normally, except to say suffice it to say. I wouldn't go with suffice.
I never use suffice other than that. You're right.
No, not at all. I would usually say that something is sufficient. I would never say suffice.
Yeah, suffice is a verb by itself. You never say, it should suffice.
I mean, you could, but I would never, ever say it, I don't think.
I don't think I ever have.
So the big question we have here right now is, I personally think the subjunctive is interesting to some degree, but not too much of it.
But only in polite company.
But I don't really think that we, except it's interesting in the sense of fossilized words, and it's interesting in the sense that that person was being snarky when someone was using it correctly. But I do feel that it doesn't really make much of a difference. And the should, using a modal verb form, is fine as far as I'm concerned. And the were and the was, I use were. If people don't use were, I don't think it's an amazingly big problem.
No, yeah. As we mentioned earlier, I don't think it's a very big deal at all. I don't really, I'm not even sure that I notice it all that much. I think I do sometimes, but I don't think all that much.
No. As I said before, I think I notice it a little more in print than I do in conversation. Conversation, I never.
Yeah.
Don't care.
I think I would notice it more in print. And I also think I would try to avoid personally using it in print.
I'm with you. You and I usually see eye to eye.
Right. So, I mean, just to summarize, we're basically saying the subjunctive is formed from the base form of the verb. From, you basically strip off the to, and including with the to be, we go be. It's important that we be ready to understand the subjunctive today. We take off the to, and we got to. It's important that Kathy Fletcher and Ross learn the subjunctive. No, it isn't important that Kathy and Ross learn the subjunctive.
Oh, we're going to get letters from English teachers.
Yes. I just don't really have I just was thinking, like, I still, when I go, like, if Fletcher was able to be present, if Fletcher were able to, I still would say were. I'm just thinking about it again. I would use the subjunctive, I think. But, I mean, I'm stuck in Latin with, like, so many different subjunctive forms.
I think that makes a big difference, though.
But it was interesting, on a different, completely different note, Spanish has a subjunctive. And a friend of mine in the Foreign Service, he was born in Argentina and moved to the States, I think, when he was 20, and learned English, beautiful English speaker. But then in the Foreign Service, at the same time, you have to take a test, and he was going to be sent to some Spanish-speaking area. And one out of 0 to 5 were the proficiency levels of Spanish, and he got a 4, and he was furious. But the point was, he didn't use the subjunctive. But here he went through 20 years of being educated in Argentina, and, you know, with people who were not as fluent as he, and he was nailed on the subjunctive. Fortunately, we don't have that problem in English to the same degree, I don't think. But you can't get through certain languages. I mean, I think in French it's declining. I mean, obviously, Latin's a dead language, and you cannot get away from the subjunctive. However much you may hate it, it's there.
I remember when I don't remember any of the specifics, but I remember when I was learning French in high school, I remember dealing with the subjunctive a lot. It's something that can decline in use in a language like French as well?
I believe it is. I mean, it's still used, but I'm not cognizant enough of French to really know if, you know, if in France.
I would love everything to be more streamlined, personally. Everything. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying this is a joke. This is like, I really would love it if everything became a little more simple. I think it's nicer. I wanted to point out one thing we didn't mention is that some experts say that English doesn't have a subjunctive.
Oh,
it's called,
yes.
an arealist instead.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a technical term. The problem with linguistics and languages, people always are like, language is fuzzy. So yeah. The point is, some linguists are saying that it's not technically, it's called an arealist, where it's like unreal. And they think that more accurately describes what's going on in English.
So it's very annoying.
Yes, yes. Something else that
really
is fun for linguists to argue over that doesn't really impact us too much.
Yeah,
day-to-day.
No. Exactly.
And that's our basic tone of the tenor, basically, of our entire show, is basically we're users. You know, we're end users of English. Mm-hmm. The question isn't theoretical. The question is, how do we get our point across well, correctly, concisely, clearly, and, you know, also not be, you know, subject to people going, what are you talking about? You know, that sort of thing, too.
Yeah,
like, I would never open, like, her and I went to the store, I would never use in a book, or never would say, if I can help it.
Yeah.
You know, I was, you know, what I mean, the was versus were, I would use were, but in that case, I don't think it's a big deal. Her and I is
That's
a
nicety.
Deal.
I think it's more of an, it's just curious sort of when you were saying that, because today my husband and I had our Spanish lesson with our teacher. We do it on Zoom, and she was giving us tips, and she said, because if you do it this way, it's like okay, and people will know what you're talking about, but everybody's going to know that you're a guiri, a foreigner, you know, not from, not a Graniano. And that's the whole thing, though. You go back to the nuances. I mean, the were and the was. It's you're right. It's fine, but it's so much nicer, isn't it, when you do the were? I mean, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, if nothing else, knowing the subjunctive will keep you from writing long, long, very misinformed screeds on Facebook about people using the subjunctive.
Yes.
Yes, if we've done one thing today, I think we've saved people from being snarky about the wrong usage of the subjunctive. Yeah.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can find all of their books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.